This does.
See what it does. See what it does. See what it does. Yeah. Here we go.
I'm Dane G. Kroll, author of Black Friday, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Popping Manga Style, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Logan here. Yeah.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at the manga World Trigger Volume 1, story and art by Daisuke Ishihara. It is published by Viz Media from their Shonen Jump imprint. And in Japan, it was released in 2013. Here in the United States and North American market, it was released in 2014. So it's been in publication for a little bit. So we're going back and jumping in and doing Volume 1 today. But we're going to let Logan take it away now.
Destroy thy neighbor. Earth is under constant threat from neighbors. Invincible monsters from another dimension that destroy our way of life. At least we have the elite warriors of Border who co-opt alien technology to fight back. Our hero, Osamu Mikumo, may not be the best agent, but he'll do whatever it takes to defend life on Earth as we know it. When Osamu meets a feisty humanoid neighbor named Yuma, everything that he thinks is right is turned on its head. Can the two natural enemies ever become friends? And yes, pretty much in the first 5 minutes of meeting each other, yeah, that happened.
Or are they friends, or it's like, oh crap, I don't want to get in trouble, so I gotta protect him.
He seems to like him too, I think.
Yeah, but he's a neighbor, so he's technically supposed to turn him over to Border.
Even after he learns he's a neighbor, he doesn't seem that worried about getting him in there.
True. Both characters are roughly 15 years old. They're still in school. And the whole gist of this is, like, door opens to another dimensional world, I guess. Or a dimensional doorway opens to another world. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
They're temporary doorways that open periodically.
Yep. Right. And creatures are coming through to terrorize our part of the world. Not quite sure. I think it's around, is it around Japan? Or is it a futuristic society? I can't remember.
I think it's around Japan, and only around Japan because the Border actually has some sort of beacon that draws the neighbors there.
And even the way Border shows up is kind of a mystery, because they just say these...
We've been preparing for this. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's like about 3 or 4 people show up. So yeah, like you said, we've been preparing for this. Build us a big old base here and let's go to work. Yeah. It's kind of like, okay. And it's been this way for how many years? It seems like quite a few years. At least a generation.
I think they're only maybe a generation and a half.
Right. So the Border Agency hasn't been there for a long time, or the headquarters. But this is the group that fights off the neighbors. And like we said, Yuma's a neighbor. So technically he's supposed to be turned in. This first volume, he's just a stranger in a strange place, I guess.
Yeah, and he does help.
Type of story.
Yeah. And he does help destroy the other non-humanoid neighbors, which are apparently more like drones,
Right. They're kind of like, I can't think of any.
Puppet warbots.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, that works. Some of the other things, you know, as Osama is a trainee, he's C rank, and they have C up through A ranks, and A is the elite ranks, so it's supposed to be hard to receive that rank, but Yuma is pretty much already there. You find out in the first volume that he's basically been from one war zone to another while he was growing up.
Yep.
So he's lived in war his entire life, where the people on our side, neighbors do come through, but they're usually contained within a certain area away from civilians.
So there seems to be a bit of trouble going on with that.
Right. This first volume does do that, and they say new doorways are starting to pop up throughout the city rather than in the contained area, so that's going to be a key factor within the series, I'm sure. One of the things that happens is that Osama, being a trainee, they have what they have called triggers to fight the neighbors, and his is kind of like a sword, basically.
Yep, and it's for trainees, basically.
Right.
But it's like those yellow lightsabers the Padawans get.
There you go. We got Star Wars in there somehow, by golly.
Yeah.
But he's not supposed to be attacking neighbors outside the city because he's still a trainee. It's supposed to be a secret that he's a trainee, which is like, okay, whatever. There's one that attacks the school, and he rushes in to help save a bunch of the kids at the school. Yuma stays back because at the very first of the book, there's another attack, and Yuma pretty much takes care of it.
Yeah, but he warns him about that because they can detect different signatures based on the trigger, so they would know that someone unknown's done this.
Right, because Yuma has his own trigger from
his
planet. So it's one of those where eventually Yuma does go in and has to save Osamu.
But it's already after all the other people have gotten out. So if he didn't have Yuma there, at least his sacrifice would have done things.
True.
But as Yuma's there, he gets to survive that too. Yay.
Yeah, and he takes the trainee blade and kills two neighbors with the trainee blade even.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be able to do that technically, I guess, but Yuma can.
He also uses a few kind of sigil type things, almost spell things too.
True, but not when he was attacking the neighbors at the school, was he?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But squad from Border HQ shows up at the school after everything's said and done, and it's the Arashiyama squad. Jun Arashiyama, the leader, is on that squad. He's roughly 19. Ai Kitora is 15 years old as well. She's on the squad.
Mitsuru, who's 16, too.
Right. Mitsuru Tokiyada is on the squad, and he's an analytical type. Ai is kind of the overconfident, overbearing, noxious person, but she's good, so you can't deal without her. June's kind of laid back and just slow, and it should be no surprise, but two of the students that were saved by Osama was his brother and sister.
Huh.
And when you think about it, it's one city, there's a school, more, you know, it's not too much of a coincidence that that should happen, because it's not a huge city. It's pretty contained.
Yeah, and people don't generally move in unless they're going to
Border. Right. True. So. And it's a rough city too. There's gangs.
Yeah. So. There's people who will, if you flash enough money around, try to do that. Hey, you must have broke my leg. You give me money for the hospital bills.
And that was funny.
For Yuma's response to that, break your leg, give you a few $100,000, whatever.
I think it was 1,000 yen.
I have no
clue. Something like that, or 100 yen.
I think they were fairly big amounts of money, but
yeah, it was a big amount, but yeah, it's like Logan said, that Yuma just like, oh, okay, so I didn't break your leg, but you're wanting this, so let me break your leg now you can have the money and go to the doctor. But yeah, that was hilarious. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
he takes each everything of his literally.
Bills are around $100.
Okay,
so
but he, I mean, he takes things literally because he doesn't know,
so he gives him
$1,000. Yeah. But he doesn't know our world.
Yeah, he's used to the violence is a thing.
Yeah, and he walks into the street and he gets hit by a car
twice,
and he just bounces off and gets up. Says, "I'm fine. Here we go."
Well, the second time you actually got to see a mark on him for about 3 pages, or panels.
He pretty much doesn't faze him hardly at all.
Yeah, he even gives the second guy most of the rest of his money. I think, I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's another guy that asked for money, but
nah, this is the car guy.
Are you lying, car guy? Oh yeah, to help out for that true.
Yeah.
And then there's
also Replica, too. We've not even mentioned him.
Replica is the Trigger, is he not?
No, he's the Chaperone.
Yeah, but I thought he was a Chaperone plus Trigger.
Not really. That's actually the Ring, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because the Ring is Replica.
No, really?
I thought it was, yeah. That was his disguise, was being the Ring, I thought.
Maybe?
I can't. Seems like that. But it could be the other way, too. It could be he's... And I know the Ring is definitely the Trigger.
Yeah.
That's true. But I was thinking Replica was and the Trigger were kind of one and the same, because it was actually sentient, where our Triggers weren't.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think his Trigger was sentient.
Okay.
Though maybe I read it Replica wrong does equip to Yuma as well.
So I might have read it wrong then, but he is definitely the Chaperone. Yeah, Replica's the Chaperone. He's kind of he's the mascot for this manga, basically, because sometimes you have a cat, sometimes you have a pig.
Sometimes you have a dog cat thing called Clue.
True. So almost all mangas, for some reason, have a mascot, and Replica is the mascot Chaperone. That's his character. He's basically the conscious of Yuma, because Yuma doesn't know what's going on. He's kind of naive in a way for being 15 years old.
Yep. And here's that scene where he gets injured. So you know he's definitely not a normal human, because his face literally cracks open and starts leaking gas.
And they talk about another term that's thrown around in here is Trion energy.
Yep. That's what Triggers work on.
That's right. And for humans, we all have a Trion gland, which is, get this, do you remember?
Invisible?
Yep. Invisible right next to the heart. And I was like, wow, that's convenient. We have an organ that we don't know about that's invisible. Depending on your DNA, I guess, your physiology, and how much Trion you have in your body, depends on how powerful of a trigger you have.
Mm-hmm.
And these triggers basically manifest into the weapons that you can fight with.
They also give you a false body, which...
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
He also spews smoke instead of bleeding when he loses his arm.
Right, because Yuma says you're going to die if you go in there. But Osama still goes in and saves the kids. But in the process, like you said, he does lose his arm, and he eventually loses his life. And you're like, what? But it's
right back out as not triggered mode.
Right. So
and Osamu, yeah.
It's kind of like a protective shell.
Yeah.
When you're fighting,
you get a false body instead of,
which
like,
is different.
If Naruto's clones had HP and were limited to one at a time.
That's a good analogy, but yeah, that kind works. So it's one of those where it's like, okay, you're there, you trigger your trigger, which is weird. You trigger your trigger. Hey. If you get killed because your clothes change into a type of uniform, mm-hmm. and you get the weapon.
I'm guessing that's actually a function of the trigger itself. Right. But yeah.
And it's a protective shield. And I guess when you get killed, in parentheses, you go back to your normal body. You're fine, but you're still fairly close to the action.
Yeah. And you also have lost a lot of Trion because a day or two later, when they almost get caught up in another attack,
he tries to
transform and nope.
Yeah, he's used up too much energy. So yeah, when you get killed in that form, you lose your energy.
It's not permanent, but you just took a pretty big hit. Yeah.
But Osama, he basically saves the day, and Yuma saves him. Hiroshiyama's squad comes in and says thank you from June, and AI, and even Matsuru says he did break the rules. We got to report this. So the very end of the book is AI taking Osama to Border HQ.
Mm-hmm.
And they
get interrupted by a flying neighbor.
Right. They start on their way and it gets interrupted. And that's pretty much the cliffhanger. And Yuma is following behind her, and she kind of looks back and says, how did you get here? Because he mentions something. Mm-hmm. And she goes, didn't even know you were here. And I've been here since the beginning.
Yep.
And Yuma has no filter. He basically says what comes to his mind, because he's like, you're lying. Or, I guess he can detect if you're lying. I guess he can detect when you're lying.
Possibly, or it's just that some of the lies he encounters are the more obvious type.
I guess. True. But he basically does not like AI. He does not like her at all. She's kind of like, she's the the overconfident, overbearing. She knows she's good. And a lot of people that just
rubs the wrong way. She doesn't like to be beat either.
Yeah, she doesn't like to be beat. And so he says, you're jealous of Osama, aren't you?
One hit with a training sword, that actually would be something to be jealous of.
True.
understand.
Yeah, that's true, but yeah. But it's the artwork in it is fairly standard manga art. There's, I think, up to about 10 volumes, maybe 15 volumes now in the series. There is an anime series that you can see if you can get a hold of. So that's
where we got the opening from.
Right, that's where we got the opening, was the season one opening. So there's some, you can look and see if you want to get that. But for the manga, it's pretty simple. It's, you know, the interesting parts are always going to come later. The first books are always set up. Mm-hmm. But for a setup book, this moved along pretty fast. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It wasn't a lot of drudging through stuff. There were sections like that, especially when they were explaining the Trion energy. And at the very beginning, they were just, you know, talking about how, you know, the neighbors worked and the border HQ came about.
And there is one other mention that I almost completely forgot.
What's that?
Yuma's dad knows somebody in Neighbor.
That's right.
It's the whole reason he's there.
Yep. He says his dad has died, so he told him to go to the border HQ.
Because he has a friend in there.
Yep, that's right. I forgot about that, too. So that's, you know, with Osama and Yuma facing this new, basically, aerial bomber of a creature of a neighbor. Mm-hmm. That's where it ends. It's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
The characters are likable enough. Yuma is, you know, Osama is a little bit of follows the rules, but he bends them enough. You know, he's not a teetotaler.
Help people instead of following the rules.
He'll help you if need be. AI is definitely follow the rules. She's very structured and regimented. June's laid back, that's for sure. And Yuma's just weird and quirky.
He has no clue what the rules are.
Right. So it's leading up to be an interesting series, and Logan and I have read a little bit beyond this volume, and it's been
even
pretty
more
good.
So. And yeah, it is.
So this is one that I think you would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to bring up?
I don't think so.
Okay, then we'll jump into this. And with that, we're going to jump into some Twitters real fast. We had one come through from 23rd Hour. They just wanted to say thanks for the feature that we did on them for their music video, Hypothetically. And this is kind of like a folk duo. So, you know, one of my areas of interest is folk music. I pretty much like all areas of music as long as it's good. And we enjoyed that. So they sent us their single to look at, or music video to look at, really, and through Cyper PR. And we want to say thank you to them for giving us a chance to listen to their music. We enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, just going through the web, another website picked us up and mentioned us. Then here in the last year, I went to a library conference in Kansas here that we have annually. And I met up with one of the independent authors there. I hadn't met her before, but she goes by Angel. And we picked up her books, and we're going to be looking at one of her books shortly. We're in the process of reading now, but Angel on her blog just wanted to give us a shout out that they had met us, and she encouraged her fans to check us out, so we appreciate that. Thank you, Angel, for doing that for us. Back to World Trigger again. This is one by Viz Media. The story and art is by Daisuke Ishihara, and like I said, you can pick these up probably through Amazon, Ingram, whatever jobber you might use for your public library. If you have a strong manga following, this is definitely one you would want to put in there. If you're a small library, it depends on your budget. Yeah. But if you have the budget, I think this would be a fun one to put include with it. So
pretty good.
Check it out. And if you have the money, you might want to slide it in there. For just manga readers in general, this is fairly standard fare. We mentioned Naruto a little bit. It's kind of along those lines.
It's not as standard as you might think, actually, going further along into it. But yeah.
Well, I'm talking about how it's a fairly standard way. It has story elements and fighting elements. It's not overloaded one direction or the other.
True.
You know, Dragon Ball is fighting elements. Mm-hmm. What is it? Maid Sama is story driven. Where this one kind of follows, you know, middle of the road. It has the story elements there, but it has its fight scenes as well. And so I kind of compare it with Naruto, because Naruto to me kind of had some story elements mixed in there too.
Yeah, because
it dealt with relationships to a degree. I enjoyed this one because of that. It wasn't overly done one way or the other. It kind of fell in that middle of the road. So I enjoyed it a lot. And what's the actual rating on the back there, Logan?
Question. T. That's it.
Okay, so T is usually means teens. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at 13 and up, and that, I think that fits it well.
Yeah, it works.
So libraries out there, that gives you a rough estimate. Sometimes we'll mention if it kind of doesn't fit the rating, but I think for this series, that does fit well. 13 and up works fine. So check it out. If you're a personal library and you like it, pick it up for your personal library, definitely. That's going to do it for us. We've been enjoying talking about World Trigger by Daisuke Ishihara. We hope you've been having fun listening to us. We will catch everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.